That's it.
Sorry, I had myself on mute. So, does anybody else have any comments or any information that they want to provide to this committee on this item? So, why don't we say...
Can you hear me?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what we're trying to do here. I'm just afraid that we're going to reinvent the wheel, or we're going to spend a lot of time discussing something that we already have.
Okay, so my sense, Teresa, is that I believe we need to find out if we are reinventing the wheel, or is there some critical information that needs to be collected from even from some of those people that you mentioned. So I would like to, what I'd like to suggest is that we form a working group of 7 people to further explore this issue.
Fine.
Is everybody okay with that?
Yes.
Okay, and we'll populate it. We'll make some suggestions as to when to populate. You want to populate it tonight?
Yes.
Okay. So, on the committee, who would like to be on the committee? And I would like to say, if it's 7, then maybe 3 to 4 people from the committee.
Eric would like to be on it.
Okay, Eric. Jim?
Jim Brown would like to be on it.
Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, I'd like to be on it as well. And Teresa had made 2 recommendations for Nestor Aguilar and Janet Lane Newer to be on the committee. Janet is, from what I understand, is a representative and a programmer and quite a accomplished woman in the affiliate circle. And Nestor Aguilar... Yeah, go ahead, Janet. Why don't you
come in? I would suggest that first we consult either John Prophet or Ernesto Aguilar to find out what we already have, and if we think we need something additionally, then we might want to approach Janice Lane Ewer to say, because she has the ability of approaching all kinds of community radio stations and NPR stations and all kinds of stations that might already have these documents that we can look at and see if we want to incorporate anything from them.
Okay, so that could, the way I understand that, and correct me if I'm wrong, the way I understand that is that that may be one of the first charges of the working group to approach these people. And I would even go as far as approaching whatever other program directors we have in the network right now to also weigh in on this as well. Okay, so we have Eric Volunteer, Jim Brown, myself. Teresa, do you want to be on the group, in the group too?
No, I don't think so. I'm still not quite sure if we know what we really need. We might have everything we need that we're just not implementing it. I think I just better stay out of it and leave it up to people with more experience.
Okay. That's a point well taken. I think that's part of the charge of this working group will be to gather that information. Make it in bullet points, however it could be gathered, or by numeric points or whatever, and then bring it back to this committee so we could have further discussion on it. How does that sound to everyone?
Sounds good on this end.
Sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds good with me, Mike Lewis.
Hey, can somebody please disconnect that phone or throw it out the window?
I'm doing my best.
All right. So, have we exhausted this issue, or do we need to continue on it?
Benito to the stack.
Go ahead, Benito.
I just want to repeat my statement a minute ago. You know, this is a PMB committee. this is a PMB committee. I don't think it is appropriate to have people on that members management on that committee. Damn this.
There's no managers on there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you want to bring on a member of management as a resource person, 100 members of management as resource people, I think that's fine and dandy.
I agree.
But you cannot bring on a member of management as a member of the committee, which would mean that they would have voting rights.
No, I'm only talking about them consulting because I don't want us to spend a lot of time on something that we already have.
Well, that's fine. I think you and I are saying the same thing then, Teresa.
Yeah.
My concern is only with, well, I said what my concern is. I think you and I are saying the same thing then.
Okay, so in the interest of transparency, I was the one that suggested that these people be on the committees and forgot that Teresa had said that it was for consulting purposes. So I correct myself.
Okay. Eric, just our point of information. I think I have a point of information. Do we need a motion here on the floor to move this forward?
It would be good, or we really don't if there's no objections. Are there any objections? So we don't need a motion, Eric.
Okay, very well.
Consent.
All right, thank you. So who's going to convene this working group? I could convene it and ask our holders if we could use this same number to convene the group. And but I think, to embrace what Teresa was saying is that we should definitely consult with those people that she mentioned, and even the other program directors in the network to see what they have or see what their sense is in regards to this item on program ownership. Would that be okay?
Okay. Sounds good too. Sounds
good to me. Can you repeat that again, please?
Okay. So seeing that, those folks who are from different stations in the network, if they can consult with the program directors and then send out an email as to the results of their consultation, that would be very helpful.
What do we want to ask those program directors?
How do they view the program ownership? Is there anything on the books? Like the Virginia just provided that there is a release that Pacifica has. So that's one thing that we already know that's in place. But are there any, the programmer's handbook or whatever? Just bring up a conversation with the topic of program ownership and that the programming committee is taking it up. Well, is that too vague? Okay. All right. We'll do that, and I'll commit to convene this group on December 18th.
December 18th? Did you say December 18th?
No, September 18th.
Okay.
At the same time, 5:30?
5:30 Pacific time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that good with everyone? That'll give us time to have those conversations and then report back.
What? December what?
September.
September.
September 18th.
September 18th?
That's on a Tuesday, mm-hmm. apparently.
No, it's a Friday.
That's a Friday.
Oh, 18th.
18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Friday, December 18th, 5:30.
Okay. It looks good on Eric's end.
Okay. And I don't think there's anything happening in KPFTX, so It's a matter of there's any local things happening that folks may not be able to get to. But if there is, just send me an email. Let me give my email address.
Okay.
Okay, my email address is A L I.
Hello. Do you really want to give your email address on this live and on this stream?
Thank you very much, Teresa. I appreciate that. Just send it to the progress. after, you know, taking more rest and
Well, isn't your if anybody is on this list, you should your email address should be available on KPFTX.
That's true.
It is.
And it is, yeah. Okay.
So
you can get my email address on KPFTX. And just send me a blur.
Is my name on this list? Because I just got elected Wednesday.
It will be. It will be. Otis will put you on.
Okay.
Lawrence, what is your last name?
Reyes. R-E-Y-E-S.
Okay.
We should ask the secretary to notify Otis of the new person on the committee.
And that would be Janet Coburn?
Is Nancy Zabarnara told me the secretary of this committee?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Nancy.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, thank you, folks. That was, I think it was a very fruitful and productive discussion, and, you know, we'll see where it goes from there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Move on to the next item. Should we move on to the next item, or anybody else want to say anything about this? No? Okay, so we'll move on to the next item. Teresa, I believe the next item is underwriting, no ethical underwriting, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So who wants to start?
I just want to say that from the on the national board, we have 170 affiliates that take some of our programming, for example, MindTalk, or whatever items are available for syndication. And some of them are very small. Some of them are like, low power stations are only maybe 100 watts. So they don't have many sources of income. They have less expenses, but they do need to raise some money to keep going. And they are asking our national affiliate director for a structure whereby they can where we can provide underwriting for them. For example, let's say there is a national seed company that has organic fruits and vegetables, and they want to reach out to people in remote areas, rural areas. And we have some stations that are in rural areas. So Ursula would contact those stations and say, would you like this company to do underwriting on your station? And they would say yes or no. And if they did, then they would get paid through us. She would organize it. She would do that. She would prepare the underwriting item, and they would receive that service. This does not affect our national stations, but it would be a big service to these stations, and that really, I mean, it's a whole movement of community radio that I think that we should support. I just want you to all know what's happening from the point of view of our affiliates. They are looking for a way that they can raise money. They have a very difficult time, some of them, like the Immokalee workers down in Florida, or like KEOS in College Station. And Ursula's plan would involve progressives that actually vet these people that would provide the that are willing to pay to have their services mentioned on air, including a lot of nonprofits.
Okay. Who?
Benito. To the
All right, go ahead, Benito.
I'm just going to ask Teresa. I'm not clear on what she's trying to propose at the moment, because as some of you know, this proposal was already discussed by the PMV, and it was rejected, at least in its current form, and it was sent back to the ED and the affiliates director to rework and respond to the concerns raised by the members of the PMB. So I'm not, Teresa, I'm just not clear what you're telling
me. Well, I don't know in what context
right
you
now.
Were, I don't know what, in what context this committee was discussing underwriting, so I was just calling this to their attention.
Eric to the stack.
Yes, go ahead, Eric.
Benito brings up the point that it was discussed before. Benito, did you say what the IED or with a different ED?
PMV discussed and ruled on, voted on the concrete proposal submitted by the affiliates director. And that vote was to reject that proposal, at least as currently written, and to send it back to the ED and the affiliates director to respond to the concerns raised by the members of the PMB.
Okay. The
So we would have to wait for them. Well, in a sense, we, you can say we're waiting for them to get back to us.
Well, the new ED, and John Proffitt has formally, we had him on the air, probably 48, 72 hours after he became ED.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taken the position. Well, the bottom line is we have a new ED.
Eric, let me make this clear. It doesn't matter what the ED decides. The ED don't decide. The PMB decides. I'm telling you what the PMB has decided.
Okay, well, I mean, granted, but I'm just saying the ED, I mean, in some form, I'm sure he has contact with the PMB or works with them. I'm not sure if he holds a seat on there, but I'm just saying he's taken a position on it. And I'm just saying he's taken a position on it. He's not in opposition. So I thought I'd mention that.
Right. John Proffitt has considerable experience at a station that makes over $1 million a year in underwriting.
Yes, it would seem to me he's part of the equation, or should or could be.
Well, he and Ursa will be getting back with us.
Okay.
Virginia to the staff.
Yes, go ahead, Virginia.
That was the live PMB meeting. There is a significant amount of recording and transcripts about that, and Benito summarized a huge discussion. So somebody asked, why is this committee taking up the matter of underwriting if it's not this? So that seems to be the question to me.
Okay. Anyone else? So in regards to that, this is something that's been brought to this committee to be, I guess, to be revisited at some point, although the PMB already has decided this issue to a degree, but it obviously has not been put to rest. So, and some people feel restless about it. So that's probably why it came back to this committee for discussion. We've been discussing this issue now for, I think, ever since I've been on this committee. So I think that, to be honest with you, I don't know where we can go from here. If anybody has any ideas or any suggestions, I think everybody knows where I stand in regards to underwriting as well.
No, I don't know. I would like to hear.
Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe in underwriting. I believe that, you know, our formula has worked for so long, and I think, you know, for lack of a better word, this is an act in desperation. And you know, and I'm not speaking of the affiliates, because the affiliates are totally different radio philosophy, if you will, although they often act in the spirit of Pacifica and what we believe in. But the affiliates are completely different. I don't believe in underwriting because it's too much of a slippery slope for us. And you know, I don't know how ethical it could be to, and you know, and I don't know how ethical it could be as well. So, I mean, I may be able to be convinced, but I haven't been convinced yet. After all the discussions and after even viewing Ursula's presentation at the in-person PNB meeting in Washington, D.C. last year, I'm still a skeptic. So that's where I stand.
Benito to the stack.
Benito?
Yeah. I like Lawrence. Let me just speak for myself, but I'm absolutely 1,000%, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000% against corporate underwriting. Now the question becomes, is underwriting and corporate underwriting the same thing? Or at least that's one issue. And what is ethical underwriting? And I would need somebody to explain that to me, because if you put capitalist in the same sentence with ethical, I think those two terms totally ice each other out.
Okay, so I'll be happy to address that question.
Okay, that's cool. But let me give me a second. So, I would like to know, what is meant by that?
Eric to the stack fouling. I don't know if that was Nancy.
If I can continue.
Yes,
I would say this. I think that on the one hand, I agree with statements made by a whole number of folks that underwriting, in some ways, the gravitation towards underwriting is a desperate move. I do agree with that. And that the real solution to the financial health of the foundation is that we have to substantially revamp and improve our programming so as to attract new audiences and reattract the old folks that just said later for this. So in the long run, I think that's the real answer to the financial problem. But, and more than that, it's moral. Or a question of mission, issue of mission. But we have to survive, number one. And number two, certain things just make common sense. And so I would suggest that maybe we need to explore some kind of middle ground, which is what we have started to do at PFW. And so, for instance, and we're searching right now, and I'll give concrete examples, and these examples may not apply to some of the other stations because of certain differences in programming. But as Eric and others or Jim said, we have a lot of music shows. And these music programmers announce events going on in Metro Y. They ain't getting a cent. DFW ain't getting a cent for announcing these music events. But the venues, the business, the nightclub, or whatever it is, where these events are held, are making buku dollars. And partly as a result of our promotion. So we're promoting stuff. We as a nonprofit are promoting announcements of events that some capitalist, petty capitalist, or whatever you want to call them, is going to make money, profit, off of our free donation. So somehow that don't compete. And so maybe we need to relook at that. In the same way, I would suggest that where there are mom-and-pop type small businesses that contribute, you know, different types of food or whatever to pledge drive. When we have pledge drives, it seems to me that we ought to be able to thank them or, you know, recognize their contribution some kind of way. So maybe on the air, you know, and maybe that's some kind of in-kind kind of stuff, you know, announcements or arrangements that can be made with these kind of businesses. Because right now, they ain't getting nothing, and for, you know, for their donation. And then number three, you know, we have a lot of, we do announcements, PSAs, for a lot of organizations, nonprofit and movement organizations for somebody's demonstration or meeting or this, that, and the other. And, you know, obviously that got to be remain free because those folks ain't got no kind of money. But then you can take somebody like SEIU or one of the other unions that do have money. And they are able to pay for announcements of their demonstration or something else, or another kind of event. So if that's the case, then, you know, obviously, you know, yeah, I'm almost finished. So, you know, the point is that here is an organization that is in tune with our mission. And that, you know, we shouldn't have a problem promoting their events, but why can we not get something from it? So I'm saying I don't have a formula here, but I do think that those are the kind of gray areas that need to be pursued.
Thank you. This is Jim. May I just add something to what Benita just said?
Well, we have a, and I got Teresa's next on the stack. I could put you on after Eric. Is that okay?
Okay. I just wanted to add to what Benita was saying.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay. Go ahead, Jim. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa. This weekend, there was a jazz group in town, this past weekend, rather, who spent money on two other stations who do not play jazz, but they could not spend money on our station. One of the performers actually came to the station for an interview, but they couldn't spend any money on with us because we don't accept. Okay. This is for instance of what kind of situation we're in, and we need to figure out how to deal with it.
And just real quick, Teresa, and the other point I forgot to make when you asked me what do I stand is I believe that the biggest elephant in the room is our lack of building our rebuilding it.
Lawrence, you need to repeat that again.
The lack of building our
Lawrence, you're breaking up badly.
Yeah, I missed that.
Building our listenership back up, you know, and increasing our membership.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, until we decide that we can have underwriting, one thing we can do is play those promos for vehicle donations relentlessly. If a station like KUNM in Albuquerque, New Mexico can make $125,000 in 1 year, and if KPFA in 8 months can make $75,000 in vehicle donations, I hope that all of our stations are playing promos for vehicle donations. Here in Houston, people have four-wheelers, they have jet skis, they have boats, they have lots of trucks. We're really into vehicles. We are into cars. We are into gasoline-powered vehicles. And people should be encouraged to donate them to our stations. Even in D.C., even in New York, there are people that, for example, they go down to Florida in the winter, and eventually they get too old for their RVs, and they should just be given a little nudge, just be told, you know, if you love your station, give these to the station, donate. So, that could sound like a quote-unquote commercial, but it's not. I mean, you're just asking for a donation of a vehicle, and it's you play it every hour, just like in lieu of underwriting, for example. But I have from the sessions I've taken in fundraising at Grassroots Radio Conference and at NFCB, for example, I know that there are government agencies that have announcements that need to be made, and they have budgets to pay for these announcements to be made. They could be announcements about, we have services for indigent people. We have assistance for, people with children. There are, where you can get vaccinations, where you can get tests. There are all kinds of announcements that could be viewed as services. Nonprofits, for example, some of them have budgets. Universities have budgets to announce things. Like, for example, in New Mexico, when they approved gay marriage, the university had attorneys come in and talk about, the legal ramifications of gay marriage, and they paid the station $250, I think, to do 10 items and announcing these sessions that people could go to for free to hear how you would go through about the process of getting married and what the legal ramifications were, how you would do your will and other legal paperwork. This is a service to the community, and the university was willing to pay the radio station to make those announcements. They had a budget for that. So underwriting doesn't have to be crass capitalism. There are nonprofits and there are government agencies that need to announce their services, and they might want to use your station because that's a service to your people. You know, services about our national parks, services about, how to get your taxes done or whatever. So I think we need to consider whether we want to do this. And if we had good employees that handled ethical underwriting with an understanding from the very beginning that they had to be vetted very carefully. We have two issues here. One is providing it to affiliates, and one is providing it for our stations. But it doesn't have to be crass capitalism that we use if we ever went to. And in the meantime, I hope that every one of you is encouraging the vehicle donation programs on your airwaves. because that is a great way to make some money, and it could be a lot. If every one of our stations raised $100,000 in vehicle donations, that would make up for the money we didn't get from CPB.
That's true. Okay, thank you for those points, Teresa. So I just wanted to alert everybody that we have about 7 minutes left before adjournment. Is this a two-hour meeting? Just add.
If it's Rodrigo to start, please.
Okay, Rodrigo. Go ahead.
Wait, Eric. Lawrence, Eric was...
Okay. Rodrigo, you have to Eric. Go ahead, Eric.
I'm not going to take a lot of time. I don't think anyone's intentionally trying to distort what's going on in terms of the discussion of underwriting, but it keeps being somehow suggested that corporate underwriting is on the table, and we cannot stress enough that we're strictly talking about small businesses and individuals, and that the C word is just not there. It's not on the table, and it keeps popping up for all the wrong reasons. And I'm just going to mention quickly that WPFW came within about 72 hours of going off the air about a week ago, and we had to go into this emergency fund drive, mini fund drive, in order just to keep the power on. We were notified by the power company, and that's when senior staff began actually actively discussing and developing a policy of underwriting. Our economy is unique here in the D.C. area. We rely heavily on government spending, federal, county, municipal, et cetera. We don't really have a corporate-based economy here. And almost every 2 years, we deal with a different set of individuals. Our core listener group were individuals who, I'd say, were born between 1935 and 1955. Many of them are leaving the area. Many of them have different spending habits. And it's not there like it used to be. It's not that we don't have the listenership. It's our donors. I mean, we rely heavily on that group, which is not there anymore. But there was never any discussion of corporate, taking corporate funds. And after this cutoff notice came from the power company, as I said, it was determined that the most plausible way for us to go in this regard to get money that we desperately need was to lean toward, I mean, a policy is being developed even as we speak, but it's a matter of approval. We need that. We need those funds. We need it desperately. I mean, we're hanging on by our fingernails. No, that's it.
Thank you.
May I say something? This is Teresa
Just
Allen.
Real quick.
This is Teresa Allen. I would encourage you to call me, and I'll be happy to talk to you about fundraising. I'm on my committees. I'm on my station's development committee, and I would be happy to talk to you about that,
Teresa.
And other things other than underwriting. Just call me. Somebody can give you my phone number. I'd be happy to talk to you at length.
Okay, thank you, Teresa. So I think I had Jim Brown and then Rodrigo. Jim?
He's on mute.
Okay. Go ahead, Rodrigo.
Okay. Yes. It seems like, you know, the options are kind of limited now. How to do the fund drives or how to raise funds. But the only thing is that I gotta say is that if, you know, by any chance, you know, we need to do underwriting, there will be a new set of guidelines, because the situation is that there are so many organizations that are, you know, community organizations that are not non-profits, but grassroots that have no funds to, and that we will not be able to pay no fees, you know, to announce their events. So I know we have to deal with that, you know, probably down the road. And one thing that it can be done immediately is like, you know, this community event with the groups of music or arts or whatever, you know, that each radio station have. I mean, we are just beginning, but we are doing that pretty much every weekend and raising, you know, little funds here and there. But I think, you know, there are so many groups that are like, that play music and everything, that I'm more than willing to be interviewed and also play a lot of times for free, you know, for the radio stations. That's a suggestion that, you know, I'm sure, you know, most of the radio stations are doing it right now, but for those committees that think, you know, might be something that can be done, so yeah, we do it in the parking lot of the radio station. That's where we do it. And some radio stations might be limited, but I remember when we were at KPRT, I mean, many years ago, they did a, you know, like a, you know, small party in the backyard, and everything was fine. So things like that do raise funds too. But in terms of the underwriting, that's, you know, we gotta be careful how we handle that. Personally, I'm not, you know, in favor of underwriting. You know, I think it's something that if it is done, we have to be really, really careful how we do it. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rodrigo. So I think we have a few minutes left, and I'd like to summarize this discussion. And so I'd like to go to Teresa, because I have a sense, Teresa, that this, that you want to do here.
Well, I encourage you to have conversations with your PNB members if you want underwriting. I encourage you to ask them to say yes for our affiliates who want that service, which will not affect us. We at KPFT, our local station board, did approve underwriting. If you want to consider underwriting, feel free to call me. Or if you want to give me your name, I'll try to call you, and we can discuss some possibilities. Okay, and I also have several other very good fundraising ideas, and I would be happy to discuss them with you.
Are you on the email blast, Teresa?
I'm on the email, and if you'll give me your name, I will try to call you.
Eric Ramey.
Okay.
Is it T-H or T-E?
T-E-R-E-S-A. And I am on KPFTX. You're welcome to email me. I will try to email you and give you my phone number so we can talk on the phone.
Okay. Is it Teresa Allen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good. Thanks.
Any other further discussion? Nancy, is there anything you want to say?
Hello, this is Mike Lewis. I'd just like to say a brief statement.
Sure, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I sent out an email earlier today. I know a lot of people on the West Coast probably haven't read about what I put about underwriting, as long as we can keep the big corporations out of a lot of the stations to where they can control us, because I've worked for PBS and Channel 8 in the past, and they have really, like, pushed hard and gotten control of a lot of programming, and they've, like, turned it into their favor in a lot of shows. And I don't know if y'all have watched PBS lately. That's where it's leaning, and I want to try to prevent that. I have no problem with, you know, small individuals and even people donating their car having, like, a brief statement of their name mentioned, but I just highly want to try to keep public, you know, our station from being taken over by corporations, you know, that will tell us what to do and dangle carrots and say, if you don't do it this way, then you don't get the money.
Thank you, Michael. If those people who volunteer to be on the working group for program ownership, if you could just hold down 1 second, this way I can give you my email information. I have to hold this off screen, if that's okay. Can you bear a couple of minutes?
Who's speaking now? Is this Lawrence?
Yeah, this is... I'm sorry, I should have said that. Okay. Otis, are you still there?
This is Benito, to the stack from before we leave.
Okay. Go ahead. You want to say something before we leave?
Yeah, on underwriting. You know, I don't think that... Number one, I don't think we have exhausted this conversation. And I think that no motion has come out of this thing tonight, but I think that I would like to suggest that we continue the conversation at the next meeting, number one. And number two, if Teresa could provide us with a copy of the motion and whatever other documents passed by the LSV at her station, because... You know, we asked George Ryder earlier this year, you know, for about three months to provide us, and Nancy, you know, did the follow-up trying to get George to provide that information, and it was never provided. Maybe you could...
I'll try to find it.
Yeah.
I'll try to find it, and if I understand correctly, it was only Eric Ramey that wanted to speak with me, right?
Well, that was your suggestion that we said we talk.
On the fundraising?
Yes, on fundraising issue.
Yeah.
Yes, I will try to find the underwriting motion, although it was passed. I know Susan Young was chair at the time, so it's been at least 6 years ago.
Okay, so is that it? Hold on 1 second. Let me see if I can get Otis to take us off the stream, and then I could give my contact information. Otis, can you take us off the stream?
Is it Lewis Garner? Apparently not.
Are you guys done? Are you adjourning?
Yeah, we're adjourning, but I need to stay on the stream real quick. Off the stream with the members to give my contact information.
Okay, but you adjourn? This is it? Come
no,
on.
No, he's not. We're not ready to adjourn.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, why don't we wait until you adjourn, then when Otis takes us off, you can give us that information.
Okay, that's an idea. Thank you so much. Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that tonight's meeting adjourn.
Thank you.
And I just had once a quick statement that I sent out an email to the programming email address that Nancy told me to send it to. I'd like for y'all to feel free to read that and then give me some feedback. You can email me back on, you know, what I had about corporate underwriting.
And point of information, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I got a point of information from Teresa. Go ahead, Teresa.
Obviously, we're going to skip the section on the agenda about the town hall and the LSB chair meeting and the general manager's report on the air. But can we confirm our next meeting?
Yes.
Does anybody know when that is?
Let's do that. It should be next Friday. This is what, the third?
Today is the third Friday, so you're talking about the third Friday in September, which is the 18th?
I'm sorry, that's the day I scheduled the meeting for.
That's so, the evening that we were going to have the special programming subcommittee. Okay.
So when we do the one on the 25th, the system is okay with everybody, and we have our regular meeting on.
Okay, the 25th of September. Is everybody agreeing to that?
That's for program meeting.
I can't understand you. You broke up.
Okay, do you hear me now?
Yes.
That's for the program ownership meeting.
I thought, no, the program ownership is the 18th.
But that's usually regularly meet.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I think you made a, I think you maybe caused a problem in that you scheduled your program ownership meeting when you were discussing it on the date that the, that this committee regularly meets. You don't want to move the program ownership meeting up a little bit so you can meet before our next regular meeting?
I would say the 25th and not the 11th because it's 9/11, and I know there's an event that I'd like to attend. So.
Okay, but do you not want the program ownership meeting to meet before our next regular meeting, which is the 18th?
Right. That's a very good point, Teresa. So then I would move that we have it on the 4th of September.
So program ownership subcommittee on the 4th and our regular meeting on the 18th.
Is that okay with everyone?
Okay, I'm assuming that if it's not on the schedule, then the secretary will do that.
Okay, Lawrence, Benito, point of information.
Benito.
Yeah, could Mike Lewis, could you reach Benny, whatever it is you sent earlier, because I, for one, did not receive it.
Yeah, can you send that again, Michael, or ask Nancy to send it again? To the list, Michael Lewis, do you hear that? Oh, no, tell me he bugged out. All right, so we'll communicate with Nancy and have her send it out again. Because I didn't receive it either.
This is Ronald. I have a question. Do we
call, go ahead, Ronald.
Do we use the same numbers to make the call?
Yes.
For the next meeting on the 18th?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So we'll convene again on the 18th, and hopefully the chair will be able to convene the meeting on the 18th at 5:30, and the program ownership work group will meet on the 4th of September at 5:30, and I'll make arrangements for Otis with Otis.
All right. So if Otis will now take us off the stream, you can give us your contact information.